Today I have with me Elaine Alec. Would you please be able to introduce yourself and what you do?
Sure. My name is Elaine Alec. My Silk sister name is Kitsanit, which means standing by water. I am from the Silk Nations, or the Okanagan and Shishwap Nations, and from the Pinkerton Indian Band. I am a writer, and I am also a partner and planner with Alder Hill Planning Incorporated, which is an Indigenous-owned and operated company planning firm.
That's great. And so this Monday, you're going to be presenting your new book at this year's Inspiring Women Among Us. Would you be able to give us a description of what the book is about?
The book is about my lived experience as an Indigenous girl in Canada, and just some of the experiences that I had growing up. A lot of it talks about some of the trauma that I experienced within my community. But it also talks about the stories that my grandmother shared with me as a child, and those Indigenous teachings that kind of helped get me through some of the hardest times growing up. And then I also go into sharing some of those Indigenous teachings as ways to incorporate diversity and inclusion into the way that we make decisions for ourselves, the way we make decisions for our community, our families, our organizations, and our feelings.
When did you start writing the book, and what prompted you to write it?
I've always wanted to be a writer, and so I've attempted to write my book a number of times over the last few decades. I sat down about 10 years ago and started to write my book, but didn't make it very far. And then last December 2019, I decided to sit down and take my entire December to be disciplined to write the book, because the summer of 2019, I traveled across the province of BC having conversations around safety for Indigenous women and girls around the Michigan Murdered Indigenous Women and Girls National Inquiry. And one of the things that came up was the need for us to continue to gather and to share our stories, but we also needed to increase our capacity and resources within our own communities to host and facilitate some of those hard conversations. And so that was the original reason why I sat down in December to write this book, because mm-hmm. I wanted it to be a resource and tool for individuals who wanted to facilitate some difficult conversations in order for us to move forward.
Absolutely. Would you say that out of all of that, there was a moment you could pinpoint in which it was clear to you that you needed to write that book?
I think it was probably after we completed the sessions and released the report, because it was it started to be recognized across the country as a best practice. And so I started receiving a lot of phone calls to do this work in other areas of the country. And I knew that I wouldn't be able to do it on my own. Mm-hmm. I knew that I needed to take care of myself as well, my own mental health, and the work is really hard. And so I felt that it was a responsibility to share what I knew and some of those teachings to share with other people who wanted to do this. So I felt a need to do it, especially because I knew the one-year anniversary for MMIWG National Inquiry was coming up in June of 2020. Mm-hmm. And so I knew that there was going to be a lot of conversations around this and having, you know, how do we host the space and what can we do to move forward? And so I kind of set that as my deadline, as wanting to have something available for people to utilize in the work.
Absolutely. And women, Indigenous people, and other marginalized people are often not assumed to be an authority of their own lives or stories. And so when writing your book, did you experience any self-doubt or pushback from outside influences? And if so, how did you handle that?
I think anybody I've learned this now that I can call myself a writer. I was still even hesitant to call myself a writer even after I wrote the book. Mm-hmm. But I've learned, know, in becoming a part of the writers community and, you know, just communicating with other authors, that it's a common theme among many of us, is that, is my writing good enough? Is anybody going to read this? Is this even worth writing? And so, you know, I had all of those doubts the moment I sat down, and I had those doubts as I worked through it and got past 100 pages and wondered if it was even worth it to put the work out. And the only thing that kept me focused on it was knowing that it wasn't about me, and that and I started to write from a place where I felt like I was talking to somebody who was sitting in front of me and sharing their stories with me. And the things that I'd heard over the last few years, I wanted to share the stories with the person in front of me. If I had a lot of time with them, what are the stories I would tell them based on what was shared with me throughout the years? And so I think that was the biggest thing, that, and I also did a lot of ceremony as I wrote the book, and I did a lot of self-care for myself and going to, you know, support groups and trauma therapy, because I was also getting triggered as I wrote the book, and so wanting to make sure I was taking care of myself, but then also doing ceremony for the people who read the book, because I knew that some of the things that I was going to talk about was going to bring up a lot for the person that would read the book, and I was worried about what was I going to do if somebody read it and, you know, something came up for them. But I think, you know, I've sold over 2,000 of my books in the last 3.5 months. And so far, every person that has connected with me and emailed me and sent me messages have shared that they could tell that it was written from a ceremonial place or a place of love. And so, you know, I believe that's the power of our teachings and the work that we do when we put that into everything, even when nobody's watching and when nobody knows that we're doing it, how important it is to be a part of the work that we do.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And so apart from your personal experiences, was there anybody or anything that inspired you to write, like perhaps some other literary influences?
I loved reading when I was younger, and as I got older, I started to pay attention to people in my community that I really looked up to. One of them was Dr. Jeanette Armstrong, and you know, I just looked up to her because of how she spoke at our community meetings and the way she represented herself and the stories she shared. And then I found out as I got older that she was also a writer and an author. Mm-hmm. And so she really inspired me. And then again, as I got a little bit older, I was introduced to Dr. Lee Miracle's work. So those two individuals have really inspired me as I've moved forward, and two people that I really looked up to. And you know, I just admired their courage and the way that they were in the world.
Absolutely. And so regarding your presentation at Inspiring Women Among Us next week, would you be able to elaborate on how you became involved in Inspiring Women Among Us?
Yeah, so I actually found out about it through Penina Harding, who was involved in Inspiring Women Among Us, and she messaged me a few months ago letting me know that this was an event coming up and she wanted to support me with promoting my book and organizing something where I could speak to it. And so she was the one that connected me with UNBC for this upcoming conference that they're hosting. So I met Penina 13 or 14 years ago now. We were a part of the Aboriginal Youth Internship Program with the province of BC. Mm-hmm. And so we've just known each other and kind of held up each other ever since.
That's great. And so why do you believe that events such as Inspiring Women Among Us are important?
I think that anytime we can come together and share our stories and our knowledge, and connect with other individuals, especially creating spaces for women to inspire each other is it's kind of one of the things I've learned is that there aren't very many spaces for us to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so every opportunity we get to do this work and be able to hold each other up, I think is so important for us to do. And I'm always willing to be a part of anything where we're continuing to learn to love each other and cheer each other on and share our stories without feeling judged or worried about gossip or worried about the lateral violence. But, you know, in a space where we can start being vulnerable with each other and still be upheld and still be respected and still know that even though we're vulnerable, we can still do our work and do what needs to be done to move our communities and our organizations ahead.
Mm-hmm, for sure. And so what is it that you specifically would hope to accomplish through your presentation?
I think the biggest thing that when I do any presentation, I always do my best to speak from the heart. I don't like to prepare anything or plan anything ahead. I usually come into the space and introduce myself in the way I was taught, which is to acknowledge my ancestors and call on them to be in the space with me. And then I just start sharing stories from my heart and hope that that it connects with somebody in some way and, you know, inspires them or motivates them somehow. But I think that I don't usually, you know, go into something hoping to achieve something,
mm-hmm.
but just to create a safe space for people to know that, you know, they're not alone.
Mm-hmm. That's incredibly important. And on that topic, are there any resources that you would recommend to young people or just people who are looking to find their voices and looking for something to support their creative work?
I have always looked, our greatest resource is our own people. And, you know, we are each other's greatest resource. And so to constantly look for people to learn from and be open to their teachings, even if you don't agree with them, to learn to discipline yourself, to listen to people, you know, with different views and perspectives, and continue to reach out to people who you feel you might want to have as a mentor, and to not give up, because sometimes people aren't in a good space or they're just too busy or they aren't prepared or, you know, they might not be in that space at that time, but to not give up and continue, you know, looking for people to share their knowledge with you. You know, that's been my biggest resource and my biggest support over the years as I've struggled. You know, some people have been able to step up and help me and others haven't been able to, but I know that doesn't mean that they don't care or that, you know, I should just give up. I just continue to reach out to different individuals until I find the person who is available to be there, you know, to support me in whatever ways I'm asking. And so, you know, I think the hardest thing for women especially is to ask for help and to continue to ask for help when they've been rejected.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's always my biggest thing for young people is if you can start to find ways to reach out and ask for support and help, and just continue to do so, I think that'll be their biggest resource as they move through whatever it is that they're moving through.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And is there anything else that you'd like to say before the presentation?
Sorry, my son just opened the door.
That's okay.
So, what was that question again?
Is there anything else that you would like to say prior to the presentation happening?
No, not that I can think of. Just really excited to connect with anybody, with whoever, you know, comes into our virtual space. And if they want more information on my book or information on the planning work that I do, they can visit my website at www.elaineallis.com.
Thank you so much for being here with us today and for doing this interview.
Thank you.